Good morning, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As you can see from the many different messages throughout the camp, we're not going to do a book study, but a topical study. And the focus of this topical study is in the Word of God. And so last night we talked about how to hear God's Word as revealed to us by God the Father. God knows our heart condition. He desires all of us to have a good and honest heart. A heart that will hear the word of God, seize the word of God and keep it and hold on to it and will not let it go. And then the seed will sink deeper and deeper into our hearts. And little by little, with patience, it will bear fruit. The fruit that will transform your life and the lives of the people around you. If you are a leader, the head of the home, it will impact the lives of the people around you. And this morning we continue our focus on the Word of God, and I hope that all of us have been given a good heart by God, that you have a good heart. And so as you desire to allow the Word of God to be understood and take root and bear fruit one day, please understand that it requires strength. Not the kind of physical strength for physical labor and work, but the kind of spiritual strength that builds up our character, our inner man, our convictions. And that's what we see in the life of Joshua. Joshua was a man who learned much these past 40 years. Israel had come out of Egypt, and they had wandered in the wilderness since Moses led them out of Egypt 40 years ago. Moses had completed his task that was to bring them out of Egypt. But because he sinned against God, he could not finish the final phase in the formation of the nation of Israel, and that was to conquer the promised land. And so Moses was not allowed to cross the river Jordan. The Lord took him home. And now it was up to Joshua to complete the task. And that's where we begin. Now God had to prepare him and instruct him so that Joshua will succeed. Please take note that as we think of living on this earth as a child of God, we must understand our relationship with God, which will describe the purpose of our existence. Let's see how God prepared Joshua. God said to him, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead." Now please note that God did not call Joshua his servant. The Bible said that Joshua, the son of Nun, he was Moses' minister. A minister is a person who waits upon his master. And so Joshua had been waiting upon Moses. That means whatever Moses instructed him, he obeyed. That was it. That was the meaning of the word minister. And throughout this 24 chapters of the book of Joshua, God never at any time described Joshua as my minister, my servant. But in the case of Moses, God established this truth as he instructed Joshua. Moses, my servant, is dead. The silence from God would imply that Joshua, you have to prove yourself from now onwards until you finish your responsibility. Then perhaps I will also call you my servant. Two different words. Moses, minister, you waited upon Moses. Now I want you to wait upon me. Now, how you wait upon me will determine whether at the end of your life, I will call you my servant, just as I now call Moses my servant. And so when you look at Joshua's life, how did he live his life? How did he obey the word of God? And did God call him my servant at the end of his life? "Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of thy foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea, that is the Mediterranean Sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And so the first thing you realize, that we are to earn our title called servant of the Lord. After salvation, and Joshua was definitely saved. No doubt about that. But what must he do to earn the title of the word servant? He had to do what God wanted him to do. That's it, plain and simple. The scope of the believer's strength, how you function as the servant of God, God will describe it to all of us. In the case of Moses, Joshua could not do what Moses did. God did not give the task to Joshua. God did not tell Joshua to lead the people out. Moses was given that responsibility. God did not ask Joshua to build the temple. Solomon was given the responsibility. Joshua was not given the task to build the tabernacle. He was there to observe and he witnessed and he perhaps helped out, but the responsibility as the one in charge was given to Moses. And so each and every one of us has a different scope to do as God's servant. And that scope is personal and individual. You have to know your scope of your responsibility. Just as the scope of Moses' responsibility and the scope of Joshua's responsibility intersected, intertwined. He was the student, Moses was the teacher. As he learned and experienced, he obeyed, and through his obedience, he learned of what his responsibilities and duties were. And now the time has come for him to step out of the shadow of Moses, and now he will be on his own. He had learned enough for 40 years. He had observed and learned. Now it's your time and your turn, Joshua, to lead them out. Now we know that Joshua had other responsibilities as well, other than leading the nation of Israel to cross the River Jordan to complete the conquest. He also had his family responsibilities, because in Joshua 24, before the Lord took him home, he told all the people of Israel, "Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And so you have the scope of Joshua in terms of his public ministry, that is the nation. And then he has his private, personal family ministry. That would be his personal family as the head of his own house. Very similar to all of us. We have our public responsibilities that will include our church life, our work life, that we have with our friends, and then we have our own personal responsibilities within our own families. Now this would be our scope, very similar to Joshua. Joshua was not asked to cross every river on planet Earth, only one particular river, and that's the River Jordan. And so his scope of responsibility that he will have to demonstrate his strength is given to him very clearly. Every part of the land of promise, not every part of the land on planet Earth, that you set foot upon, God gave you this assurance, you will succeed. No man will be able to stand against you, because my will for you in your life is to conquer this land of promise, and you have to do it my way. Now this is your goal, this is your mission, and you and I know that at the end of Joshua's life, once this mission was completed, the Lord took him home. It may be seen as a one-dimensional mission because it was very plain and clear. It was enormous to lead an entire people into a land to conquer it is no easy task. And then after the conquest, then you have to divide it by lot. And then after that, you have to establish it so that they will not only begin as a nation, but they will continue to be a holy and a godly national witness for the Lord. Now that was his scope of responsibility until the Lord takes him home. Now all of us have a scope. our founding pastor, Dr. Toh, was the one that God called to found the Calvary churches. He came out of life. He was an elder at the time, serving together with Reverend Timothy Toh, the late founder of the BP movement of Singapore and FEBC. And then he came to this part of Singapore, the West. And he started the work first in Jurong. And then a few years after that, he branched off, and then Pandan. These are no accidents. I could not do that, of course, because I was just a young man, not even a believer at the time. That was the scope that God has given to our founding pastor, Dr. Toh. And then we continue. And then you have all the other gospel outposts in other countries. And then you have Tenga. These are his responsibilities. And I may participate, but the leadership was his. I participated, helped out just as Joshua assisted and helped out during the 40 years with Moses. But Moses was the leader. Moses was the one in charge. But now Moses has been called home to glory, and now Joshua must continue to complete. This would be his scope. Just as his scope intertwined and intersected with Moses, there will be others whose lives will now intersect with that of Joshua. That's your life and my life too. But there will be time where it will be you on your own, where you have your families to look after, and you cannot afford to sacrifice any part of your family or any part of your responsibility. All areas, the entire scope of your life must glorify God. Now, if you are the head of your own home, you cannot say, I want to be the best worker in my company. I want to be the best servant and minister in the church. But I sacrifice my home testimony. I sacrifice my relationship with my spouse and with my children in the process. That's a failure. You have to understand the scope of our strength as a child of God, as a servant of God, is the scope that God has entrusted to us. Not the whole world. Not all the rivers that you have to cross. Joshua, only one. Jordan. Where is our river Jordan? The area of your life. You have to know that. Because once you know it, you will begin to understand the purpose of your existence. So that you will not hop and hop and hop. Keep on changing scenery like a man that is lost. He doesn't know where he's going. He just keep on walking and walking and walking, and the road there seems to be endless. You cannot live your life as a Christian in that condition. You have to know what road you are walking on. The road that God has set for you. The scope of your strength has to be known by you. God wants you and me to know it. Otherwise, you're going to dissipate your strength, doing things that are inconsequential, because you do not know what is the purpose of my life after salvation. And so because you just do a little bit here, do a little bit there, do a little bit here and there, at the end of your life, you realize that now you are in your 60s. What have you accomplished? What have you done for the Lord and for your family? You leave behind a trail of half-hearted accomplishments. That must not be your life and my life. God did not want that for Joshua, and that's why God made it very plain and clear to him. Now this is your role and your duty. I gave it to Moses. Moses had his. And you supported him and assisted him, and you learned from him, Joshua. Now Moses, my servant, is dead. It's now your turn. And this is your scope. And God promised him, I will be with you. Right? Verse 5. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee, and I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. You need to know what the scope of your existence is. First, your family. Now you know that. If you will have a heart that is a good ground, you know how much good and tremendous a spiritual blessing for eternity that you could be to your children. Because you have the good ground, and you are the head of your family. And if you are a Christian wife, and your husband is the head of the family, both of you are godly, both of you have good ground, you know how great a blessing you can be to your sons and your daughters? You have provided for them an environment of Christianity where they're going to see and experience and witness the wonderful Savior. You know how wonderful the Lord Jesus Christ is. The world cannot have that blessing. You can. That is first the scope of your family that you must dissipate and spend your strength accomplishing. Building a home that is spiritual, that is eternal. Not bricks and mortars. Not in terms of the beauty of the external. It can be a small, tiny little home, but when the person set foot in it, when your son and your daughter wakes up in it, grows up in it, they will have the kind of riches, the kind of richness and wealth that only a spiritual environment and atmosphere can provide. The Bible made it very plain and clear. It is better to live in a tiny little house where the fear of the Lord is than to live in a great mansion where there is strife within. Problem, argument, unhappiness between mom and dad. They quarrel. They can't get along. Isn't that true? Some of us have experienced that. Some of us might still be experiencing that. You can fix it. You have to know the scope and the purpose. And your family is that clear scope and purpose that you must now spend your strength in establishing and building. If it needs repair, repair it. It is still not too late as long as you are breathing. As long as your heart is a heart that is of the good ground, the Lord will be there to help you. He promised, I will be with you. Did Jesus not promise us that at the Great Commission? All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And then I ask you to go forth, baptizing them, and then teach them all things. I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. Same assurance that God gave to Joshua, the Lord Jesus Christ gave to us. He can help you to spend your strength and energy building up a spiritual, Christ-glorifying, godly home so that this environment, your children, will be protected from the forces of the world that will continue to shape them and mold them into carnality. But your home will shape them and mold them into Christ-likeness spirituality that is God-honoring. It can be done. You do that. And then in your public life, you can help the church. You can help your colleagues. You can show them, your colleagues, who Jesus Christ is. That's the scope. Don't think of saving the whole world. Think of being a holy and godly witness in your world. Dissipate and spend your strength wisely in the church, in school if you're a student, in the workplace, if you are working, spend it wisely. If you want to have some recreation time to refresh your mortal body, by all means. And even in the course of your recreation, you do it with others, for example. If you do it with others, also spend it as a time where you can encourage others. This is a place where I think you can play golf. If some afternoons you want to play golf with other campers, by all means. But as you stroll and walk around the golf course, what do you talk about? What do you do? Don't talk about stocks and shares and how to make more money. Talk about the things of God. Tell them about how God is working in your life. This will turn this so-called physical endeavor into something that is spiritual. Dissipate your strength carefully, wisely. Know the scope of the believer's strength. Joshua was told very specifically by God, this is the scope that you are to dissipate your strength, but don't do it at the expense of sacrificing your family. And that's why he concluded, choose you this day whom you will serve, Israel. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Had he completed establishing the nation? Yes. But he never forgot the family in the process. We must also do likewise. Second, the word of God requires strength. Know the scope
as you dissipate your strength. Don't just simply let it flow out in things inconsequential. Be very, very careful as you use your strength and your energy and your time, because it is limited. One day we will be all called home to glory, and it will be all over. And so as you spend your day, as you spend the hours of the day and the minutes of the day, know the scope. Here, your family, when you go back home after the camp, your workplace, these are the scopes that all of us have. They will intertwine, intersect. But there will be times it will be just you. And where you are going to serve and how you're going to serve it. What kind of strength do we need to obey God's word? Look at verse 6 and 7. Be strong and of a good courage. You have to be strong and of a good courage in obeying God's word. The kind of strength that is internal, the strength of character and conviction. Stubborn in things that are righteous, in other words, obstinate. Don't be moved. Satan will want to push you by the negative that is threatening you with persecution, loss of job, loss of health, or he can seduce you. Heap upon you a lot of luxury whereby you get lost in all the softness of life. So much so that you have no more time to serve. Either way, very successful. Remember the second and the third kind of ground? Persecution, give up God's word. Cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the pleasures of life. Enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. That's all you do. Just plan and how to enjoy life. Don't allow Satan to succeed. The kind of strength the Bible speaks of require obstinacy in holding on to what is your conviction in life. This is what I want to do in providing my children a godly home. Whatever happens, I must not allow it to change. It means, as a father, I must make sure that I'm spiritual. And that means I have to read God's word for myself to develop and protect my own heart so that I will not allow Satan to turn me into a carnal husband and a carnal father. And so I have to read God's word, study God's word, and meditate upon God's word so that I can have the mind of Christ develop more and more so that I can think like Christ and not allow the world to force me to think in their direction, but in the direction of God. And that's what I do personally, so that I will provide for my family, my children, a spiritual home with a spiritual direction. This is the strength that you have to hold on to. Because it requires that. Because the forces and the pressures of the world are real. You think it was easy for Joshua to just simply march on and conquer? He faced a lot of problems. Remember Achan? They were told not to take anything from the city of Jericho after God destroyed it. Achan disobeyed. He got the help of his family to help him hide the spoils that he stealthily kept for himself and his family, buried it under their tent. And then when they attacked the second city, Ai, which was much smaller than Jericho, they lost. Some of their own people died. And then they were so disheartened and discouraged, including Joshua. He complained to God in prayer, and God told him, stop praying, stop your murmuring and complaining, get up and do some sanctification. You know, I promise you that you cannot succeed, it cannot fail, I mean. You cannot fail. The only time you fail is when there is sin in the camp. Have you not learned that for the past 40 years in Moses' time? Every time there was a death in the camp in Israel, was it not because of sin? And now there is camp in your ministry inside Israel. Please know that there is sin in the camp. I promise you, you will never fail, you will never succeed. No man can stand against you. And that is true, unless there is sin in the camp. And God will not allow you to be blessed and to be victorious if there is sin in your camp. Find out who the sinners are. And so by law, they found out it was Achan and his family, and they were punished. The whole family paid for it with their lives. And then after that, they have been sanctified and cleansed, and then they were able to succeed and conquer. It was a task that Joshua had to be strong because the enemies outnumbered them. Outnumbered them to in a ratio that the Bible did not even describe for us. And they were not trained soldiers. They were people who were in slavery for 430 years. When they came out and marched in the wilderness for 40 years, there was no commando training. God had to help them all the way, and that was God's way. And they had to learn to lean on God, and God had to teach them how to fight His battle, which was spiritual and not flesh and blood. The enemies, arm of the flesh, very real, very powerful, like today. The arm of the flesh is a very powerful arm. They have control of authorities, they have control of money, and you know with control of money, you have money power. Money power. And money is a very powerful commodity. Spoke to one lawyer who has retired. He told me that when he was practicing, he had a lawyer friend. And this lawyer friend shared with him that he had a client who gave him $1 million check and asked him to sue this person whom he did not like at all. And then he presented the case, and the lawyer said to this rich man who gave him $1 million, use this to sue this person. He said, you will lose, you have no case. I know I have no case, but I want you to sue him for me because I know that if you sue him for me, he will have to hire his own lawyer, and I know he can't afford it. And in the course of hiring his lawyer to defend this lawsuit that I want you to take on him, I want him to go bankrupt. And the lawyer, of course, did it. He took the money. Money power is real. When we face the lawsuit, Dr. Toh and myself, we met the lawyer and I asked the lawyer. The lawyer told us, in Singapore, anybody can sue anybody. You can even sue the Prime Minister if you want. That is your right as a citizen. Then I said, if that is the case, then rich people can bully poor people. Then she said, yes, without hesitation. You are right. The rich people can bully the poor people, like in this instance. So wealth and money is a very real, potent commodity. And so the world looks for these things, because they have tasted it, they have seen it, and they want it. But for us, it is not the arm of the flesh, no matter how powerful and potent it is. We need the strength of character that is anchored in God's word, that is required of us in obeying God's word. That's exactly what God said to Joshua. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their father to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. That's how you conquer. That's how you defeat the mighty Canaanites. They outnumber you. They are trained soldiers. They are very, very well protected by their high city walls. But you trust me. You need strength and courage in obeying my commandments. And you will succeed. Strength, obstinacy in doing what is right. That's the strength of character anchored in true conviction. That nothing will move you from this stance of doing what is right. The scope of my responsibility that God has entrusted to me, by God's grace and with His strength, I must succeed. I must not fail Him. No matter how strong the enemies might appear, I cannot turn to the right nor to the left. I must stay the narrow way. Stay the course. The next word is courage. Courage here means to be alert mentally. Mentally. And so God emphasized this in verse 7. Very courageous. You have to be very alert mentally. That means be steadfastly minded. Also, your character is there. But your mind has to be strong. You and I know there's a problem with the mind. I would rather break my arm than to have a broken mind. You break my arm, I go to the doctor, I put it on a cast, the bone can set and heal itself. But the mind is very difficult to heal when it is broken. That's why the Lord tells us, don't ever empty your mind. Let the peace of God that passeth all understanding guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Guard it well. How do you guard my mind? Fill it with the word of God so that you can have the strength and the courage to do what is right, because the world will try to stop you, because 2 Corinthians 4 tells us the god of this world is the devil himself, and he has blinded the eyes of the people of this world, making them think that what they are doing is right when in reality it is wrong. So the two types of the believer's strength and courage, character and strong mind. With that, you will be able to obey the word of God, to observe, to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from me to the right hand, nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Same guarantee today, same, no change. As long as you obey the word of God, regardless of relationship, regardless of the faces of man, you just do what is right according to the word of God, and you will never, never be wrong. God's guarantee. Start with your family. Investigate, evaluate right now whether your family life is experienced and lived according to God's holy and righteous word. Don't let it go to the right or to the left. You're married, husband-wife relationship. You have children, parent-child relationship. What are the ages of your children? All these will matter. If they are still young, they're still within your care. You have to really care for them and direct them and chastise them and guide them. What is right, what is wrong. And your manner of chastisement will be the way to tell them. Wrong, chastise. Right, blessing. Just as God is teaching us the same way. You don't reverse the two. Wrong, you don't bless. Right, you chastise. Don't do that. Get it right according to the scriptures. The Bible will be your guide, and it will help you. That's why Joshua was commanded by God, be strong and courageous, to do all. Not most of it. Definitely not some of it. All of it. No area must be sacrificed. All areas must be obeyed. And you will experience the great blessing that God guarantees all his children. Do the same in church. What are you doing with your life in church? Don't just come and go. Find out what is the scope, what God wants you to do by knowing what your spiritual gifts are. And then prayerfully step out in faith and serve. That is the scope. And then you dissipate your strength little by little, carefully. Will there be challenges and difficulties? Yes, obviously. But then if you are strong and very courageous, which is what God wanted Joshua to have, you will succeed, you will stand strong. Doesn't mean that you will not stumble, you will stumble. But repent and come back and continue to stand up and serve some more. God knows that. God does not expect perfection. He expects holiness. Holiness. And that's what we are to do. The word of God requires strength. Know the scope whereby you are to spend and dissipate your strength wisely and carefully. What are the types of strength that is required? Strength of character, strength of mind. And the word of God will establish that. The strength of character, you already have that in Christ Jesus. The Spirit of God dwells in you. As a child of God, you already have that. And now you have to strengthen it, make it stronger. The word of God will help it to be stronger, because now you can develop and mature the mind of Christ that you already possess as a Christian. And then very soon, little by little, you're going to have a very strong mind, because this mind is anchored in God's word. Read the word of God meditatively, day in and day out. And the blessing truly is tremendous. Tremendous. The Bible is truly a well. Shallow enough for the youngest believer to wade into it and not be drowned by it. Deep enough that the most mature believer can dive into it and it will never touch bottom. That's the amazing thing in the Bible. It is so rich and so wonderful. It is so good because it is the Word of God. It reveals to us the mind of God Almighty. Whenever you study the Word of God, you are delving into the mind of your Heavenly Father. Every time you read the Word of God, it is the Word of God, your Heavenly Father, speaking to your heart. Did you read God's Word this morning when you woke up? You should. Because it is very important that the first voice that you hear should not be your husband, your wife, or your children. It should be the voice of your Heavenly Father. That's why read the Word of God first thing in the morning as you commune with Him in prayer. Listen to His voice. What He says to you, truly. Day by day, day by day. Guaranteed by God. You cannot not be changed and transformed. You will change. You will be a better husband. You will be a better wife and definitely a better father and mother to your children. And your children will see the change in you. Because your relationship with them will become more patient, more loving, more long-suffering, more compassionate, and definitely more spiritual. And when they see that in mom and dad, and no longer carnality, you don't have to share with them the gospel. They will ask you, mom, dad, I want to believe in Jesus Christ just as I see how you and daddy have accepted Christ and how you have changed. Please show me how I can also have this Christ in my heart as I see Him in your heart. Isn't that the sweetest longing, desire of every Christian mom and dad? That your children will also want to become a child of God just as they are your child. And the Lord will do that for you. But you have to be strong and very courageous, strong of character and strong of mind in holding on to the Word of God and obey it. And don't let Satan seduce you to give it up or to threaten you to give it up. You hold on, keep it, and don't ever let go for it, because there is nothing that he could offer you that is more precious than obeying the Word of God. Absolutely nothing. What did Jesus say to us? I am the living bread. Once you have tasted and eaten the bread, you will never hunger. I'm the living water. When you have drank it, you will never thirst. Thirst for the things of the world. Hunger for what Satan had to offer you. You have Christ. Satan can offer you a multi-billion dollar money. No, thank you. I don't need it. I don't need the multi-billion dollar to serve the Lord. I am very contented and happy where I am with godliness in my heart. That's what I want to do with my life. Thank you. No thanks. Never hunger and thirst anymore for the things that the world has to offer you, that Satan has to offer you through the world. I have Christ, and Christ is everything to me. The two types of the believer's strength. Know the scope. Know that you need strength and courage. Strength of character, strength of mind. And the source of the believer's strength, verse 8 and verse 9. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. The word prosperous is not dollars and cents. The word prosperous is spiritual. To have peace in your heart, to know that your life is pleasing to God. Godliness with contentment is great gain, great wealth. Godliness with contentment is great wealth. That is the prosperity. That is the good success, where your life will impact the lives of the people around you that last for eternity. Not to impact them that will last for 70 years. And a person invented the escalator. He is able to impact our lives 70 years. Because once I'm dead, I don't need an elevator. Once I'm long dead and gone, I don't need the computer. I don't need that handphone. I don't need all the beautiful cars and airplanes when I'm dead. So they impact my life. Yes, impact my life a lot as I'm breathing, as I'm living on this earth. Your life is more than that. Don't just impact the lives of people by what you do while they are alive physically. Impact them for eternity. You can. Because the source of your strength is God and His Word. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, and be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. So how was the Lord with Joshua? The Word of God in him. You cannot separate the presence of God from the Word of God. They are one and the same. Because the Word of God is God, God's voice, God's wisdom. And so to have the Word of God in me as a source of my strength and wisdom, my thinking, my life, my direction, it is as good as having the presence of God in me. You cannot say, well, I have God in me, but I don't like His Word. I don't have His Word. You cannot separate the Word of God from God. You cannot separate Christ from the Word. Because to know Jesus Christ is through the Word. Why do you think the Bible tells us Christ is the living Word, the Bible is the written Word? Why do you think in the book of Proverbs, the Bible describes wisdom as a person, personifying wisdom, telling us that wisdom had been there even before the creation of angels and this whole universe? You cannot separate God from His Word. That's why when they attack His Word, it's as good as attacking God. Just like when you attack my Word, when you attack the Word of our Prime Minister, it's attacking His person. You call Him a liar. You're not actually hurting His physical being, right? You just call Him a liar. But He will take you to court. If you cannot justify why you call Him a liar, you've got to retract it. Because to attack His Word is to attack His character, His person. It's the same with the Bible. The Lord is with us when you have strength and courage to obey all the commandments of God. When you pick and choose what to obey, that means certain commandments you don't want to obey means you're in sin. If you're in sin, God cannot use you. Because if God were to use you while you're in sin, God will be condoning your sin. Just that you will not want to obey your son and your daughter's request if they are in sin. They do not want to repent. You caught them telling lies and you charge them for telling lies. You ask them to apologize. They refuse. And then after that, they ask you for help. They want an ice cream. You're not going to give him that ice cream. He refused to repent of his lying. You just found out and caught him lying. You say, no, I don't want to repent. I don't want. Can I have my ice cream now, Dad? Sure, give it to him. What does that mean? You lie to Dad and Mom and you refuse to repent, but we reward you in the process. God will never do that to us because you won't do that to your son or your daughter. Why would God do that to us? Because then God will be sending the wrong message, just as you do not want to send the wrong message, but rewarding a transgressor who refused to repent. God will not do the same to us. That's why strength and courage, the source of our strength and courage is God. How? Through the Word. Just as we need strength and courage to obey the Word of God is in itself also the source of our strength. When you have the Word of God in your heart, you have the assurance that if I obey the Word of God, I know I am right. I know that this is the way that God wants me to go and walk and live. I will not change. You can do whatever you want to me. I will not change. It doesn't mean that when you are thrown into a lion's den, the lion will not eat you up. It doesn't mean that you're going to be delivered from every attack. In some cases, yes. In other cases, no. More often than not, you may have to pay for it with your life. Strength and courage is not physical. It's moral. It's internal. It's conviction of heart and the strength of the mind. I'm not sure you know this man called John Huss. I think many of us do. He died in the year 1415. He stood against the mighty Roman Catholic Church in the 15th century, 1415 AD. That was the year he died. They didn't like his writings, they didn't like his preaching, and then they took him to court. And so he had to stand in front of all these church leaders. And they asked him to recant. If you recant, if you deny and take back everything that you have written about Christ, we will let you live. He refused. He said to them, I appeal to Jesus Christ, the only judge who is almighty and completely just. In his hands I plead my cause, not on the basis of false witnesses and erring counsels, but on the truth and the justice. He refused. And the trial went on. And they gave him chances of the chances to recant. But he kept on refusing. And then finally they said, if you refuse, we're going to burn you at the stake. And this was what he said before they tie him to the stake and burned him alive. God is my witness that the things charged against me I never preached. In the same truth of the gospel which I have written, taught and preached, drawing upon the sayings and portions of the holy doctors, I am ready to die. And as they tied him, And before he died, as they burned him to death, he said these words, "Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on us." And then he died. 100 years later, Martin Luther faced the same mighty power of the Roman Catholic Church. He also stood in front of his council. Similar people, same kind of characters that burned John Huss to death. And in his trial, he was also charged and asked to recant. "Unless I'm convinced by the testimony of the scriptures," Martin Luther argued, "or by clear reason, for I do not trust either in the Pope or in councils alone, since it is well known that they have often erred and contradicted themselves. I am bound by scriptures I have quoted, and my conscience is captive to the word of God. I cannot and will not recant anything, since it is neither safe nor right to do against conscience. Here I stand, I can do no other. May God help me. Amen." But in his case, before they could arrest him and burn him like they burned John Huss 100 years ago, God spared his life. He had to hide in the castle. And while he was hiding, he was able to translate the word of God into the German language for his own people. He was German. In the case of John Huss, he stood based upon his scope of responsibilities, where he dissipated his strength, and using his strength and courage, he stood his ground. He refused to budge one inch in the face of the enemies against him, the might and power of the great Roman Catholic Church that had dominated Europe for more than 1,000 years. They took his life. God allowed John Huss to lead this world, to complete his service, whereby he held on to the word of God with a kind of strength and courage of mind and heart as he burned to death. In the case of Martin Luther, 100 years later, same thing, but his scope, where he dissipated his strength, continued after that encounter. And God used him after that. Each of us have a different scope, different world that God wants us to spend our energy, our strength, obeying the word of God. It requires strength of character and strength of mind, conviction in heart, and Bible strength of mind. That this is the teaching of God's word. I will not flinch from obeying the word of God. You can do what you want. You want to throw me into prison? Throw me. You want to burn me at the stake? Burn me. You want to take away my family? Take. You want to take away my freedom and my life? Take it. But no matter what, I know my God can deliver, but if he so chooses not to deliver, so be it. I will not move from the path that God has set for me, the strength of character, and the source of it, the presence of God through the word of God that you have now, not in your head only, but in your heart. And Joshua had it all the days of his life. You turn to Joshua 24. Joshua 24. He had finished his work now. He has completed his task. Let's see how God described him. Remember, you were Moses' minister. You waited upon Moses. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you wait upon me and do what I ask you. And perhaps you may also earn the title, my servant. You look at Joshua 24, verse 29. Before the Lord took him home. And it came to pass after these things. What things? Joshua's life. Conquered the land of Canaan. Divided the land. Established the nation. Challenged them. Choose you this day whom you will serve. It has to be willingness. It has to be obedience. You have to choose too whom you will serve. As for me and my house, he said, we will serve the Lord. And then what did the Lord say? Concerning Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Jehovah, died, being 110 years old. Finally,
God gave him the title, Servant of Jehovah. You and I are likewise the same. Until you finish the task that God has set for each and every one of us, our lives may intersect and intertwine. You help me, I help you. And we have our own private responsibilities, like our families, like our workplace. I can't help you at your workplace. That's your responsibility. But whenever we are in church, our lives are intertwined. But one day, it will be over. And my desire for myself is that I may serve the Lord faithfully to the end of my life. And by God's grace and mercy, hope that He will call me His servant. Do you not want that? That's why we are here, to serve Him by obeying His word within the scope of responsibility that He has entrusted to all of us. You can't choose your day of birth and where you are born. The Lord decided in Singapore, in the 20th century, and now serve Him faithfully. And at the end of your life, the Lord may say to all of us, well done, my good and faithful servant. A good heart that desires to obey the word of God requires strength. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, that if there be any wicked way in me, lead me in the way everlasting. We thank Thee, O Lord, once again for this life that we have in Christ Jesus, a life that allows us to live according to Holy Scriptures, to obey Thee within the boundaries of the world that You have set for each and every one of us, to be a holy witness at home, at work, at school, and also in church. And may we do so with strength and a good courage in obeying all that You have given to us in Holy Scriptures. For You have promised us that You are with us, and we cannot fail but be victorious as long as we have strength and courage in obeying Thy holy word. This is our heart's cry and our heart's desire. May Thou help us, just as You helped Moses and Joshua. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for Thy glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.